Good morning. Welcome to this IMF press conference on the discussions of the 7th and final review of Romania's standby arrangement with the IMF. The IMF's mission chief for Romania, Eric de Vrijer, will make a brief summary of the discussions, whereupon he'll take your questions. At the end of the press conference, a press release will be available at the exit. Mr. de Vrijer, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Welcome. I think I can be relatively short because you have all read already the letter of intent and memorandum. So let me give you a little bit of background. First, we have had very good discussions with the government and the central bank on the economic situation and the outlook for Romania, and also on the last reviews under this standby arrangement with the IMF. Because there were some misses of targets at the end of 2012, and there were delays in structural reforms in particular, the government has also requested sort of to extend the period by 3 months so that they have more time to implement all the measures that we had agreed upon in the last review, the sixth review. That was sort of in the summer of 2012. And we have agreed to ask the board of the IMF to grant this extension. Now, let me say a few things on words on the outlook and then on the main measures that we discussed. As you know, economic growth in 2012 was almost zero, very low. After about 2.2% in 2011. And we think that growth in 2013, this year, will be around 1.5%. Now, that these growth numbers are relatively weak. Partly that is because after a financial crisis, it takes longer for the economy to recover. Partly it is because the environment of Romania is difficult, with the recession in the Eurozone. Partly it is because of special sort of factors, like in the beginning of 2012, there was severe winter weather that disrupted economic activity, there was a bad harvest, and also the implementation of reforms and the absorption of EU funds were not as fast as envisaged. So, going forward, there is a question of how to get growth. Let's go back to a key purposes of the program to reduce sort of the financial imbalances that resulted from the crisis. There, good progress was made. The budget deficit was reduced as planned in 2012, and by now Romania is almost in the safe zone. We've had good discussions on the 2013 budget, which we think is a very balanced budget in terms of measures on the expenditure side and measures on the revenue side, and that should be able to support the economy somewhat better than in the period where there was a need to reduce the deficit more strongly. Also, the balance of payments is now, the deficit is below 4%, and that should be financeable this year. Inflation has come down since a few years ago, and there is a temporary uptick because of higher food prices in particular, and we think that after the sort of middle of this year, inflation will go down to almost the upper range of the target of the central bank, around 3.5%. So these accomplishments are very encouraging, and they're necessary to sort of set the stage for higher growth. But they're not sufficient. We've discussed very much with the government how to get higher growth. Now, what happened before the financial crisis was that there was a lot of capital inflows in the economy. In the current situation in the world, that is probably not going to be repeated over the next few years. So the country has to rely on its own efforts to get growth. We think there are a number of promising possibilities of achieving that. One is the government can step up its efforts to get EU financing for infrastructure projects and other projects, and that is a form of capital inflows, grants from Brussels, that would help the economy. And so the government is sort of reorganizing itself and putting more priority and more emphasis on mobilizing these resources. So hopefully that will help in 2013. But that is not enough, and you can't count on it, because in the past often we've been disappointed with the level of absorption that could actually be achieved. Therefore, we looked at sectors in the economy where activity can be increased and growth can be increased. Energy and transportation. Energy because Romania has significant energy resources that could be exploited. And transportation because Romania has a very favorable geographic location between the Black Sea and the rest of Europe. And if you have good transportation infrastructure, then you can attract more factories and other investments, Romanian and foreign investments, to develop the economy. In both sectors, there are a lot of state-owned enterprises. And we've discussed with the government how to improve the performance of these state-owned enterprises. For example, the railway company, Hydroelectrica, and so on. And there are basically two avenues. One is to ensure that there are capable, professional managers in these companies that will actually run them in a more efficient way, so that these companies make profits and they can invest and they can contribute to the budget, so that you can finance better education and health services. The other one is, if that is difficult in some cases and you need a lot of capital, to privatize them and try to attract capital and know-how that way. I understand there is great reluctance about privatization. And there are sort of a number of preconceptions around that I think hinder a bit a cool, rational approach of these things. One is that there is the idea that if companies make profit, then there is no need to touch them. And that if they made profit, why don't they invest more? Now, there are a number of successful privatizations in Romania. For example, Petrom, a company that invests a lot and is one of the largest contributors to the budget. You see also very encouraging developments in Hidroelectrica. That was, let's put it this way, rather mismanaged for many years, ended up in insolvency, and even with an administrator is making good progress. So if this company gets run in a good way, that is promising. Now, I know there is some controversy about the companies in the electricity and gas supply and distribution sector. First, it is normal for companies to make a profit. That's the rate of return that you need in order to, because you put in a lot of capital. Right? Let's put it this way. If you make an income of, let's say, 2,000 RON, you could save some, which could be invested. If for some reason your income drops to 1,500, you still have an income, but maybe you're not able to save and invest as much as before. Well, this is the case with these companies in the energy supply distribution sector. These sectors operate under regulated prices. And if the regulator does not allow cost increases to be reflected in the prices, in the tariffs, and so in the revenues, these companies still make a profit, but not enough to warrant, to justify large investments. So I think there is an issue here of sort of, on the one hand, the conditions under which they operate, and on the other hand, their behavior. And with making the regulator, ANRE, more independent and allow it to apply the normal pass-through formulas, that cost increases gets passed through into tariffs, hopefully this situation will improve. Normal profits are above 10%. So if a company makes profits of above 10%, that doesn't mean at all that something abnormal is going on. That's the normal rate of return on capital, like, you know, most average salaries are above the minimum salary, which is also a good thing. We agreed with the government on a number of actions in this public enterprise sector, including some privatizations, including appointing professional managers. And let me underline here, the purpose is to get these companies to work better. Because companies that make a small profit or losses are unsustainable and cannot contribute to the economy and create jobs. Let me stop here and take your questions. Should I have said other things? Is it okay now? The issue.
Hello, Mr. Dubayev. Okay. This is Radu Sogani from Money TV. I have some questions for you. First of all, you said that some targets were missed. If you can emphasize a little bit, and I'm especially interested in the deficit target for 2012. This is the first question. The second question is about if there are any prior actions since that we have to do till the review. And I have another question about CFR Marcol. If it was the government intention to restart the privatization, or if it was your request. And I'm curious, why is not the European Commission here? Thank you.
Okay, Let me take them one by one. The targets that were missed were the cash deficit target for 2012, the targets on arrears of central and local governments, and the target on the NFA of the net foreign assets of the central bank. I will sort of explain all three. The target that was met on the deficit is the most important one, which is the European definition of the deficit based on sort of commitments. So that is estimated now to be below 3% as planned. That is actually the most important deficit target, so that one was met. Now, because these data come in with delay, the IMF program is based on deficit numbers on a cash basis, so money that comes in and money that goes out, that comes available about around the 25th of after the month, of the next month, right? In the 25th of, let's say, January, you know the December outcome. So because that becomes available sooner, we have based our budget on that. And that target was missed mainly because, as you know, EU fund disbursements were suspended last year on projects and programs where the Romanian audit authority discovered irregularities. And once these problems were resolved, the authorities could send in their bills to Brussels, which they did around the middle of December. But the payment has not arrived in December, will come in February or March, and so therefore they missed that target. So we look at that not as a sort of missing the target because of a wrong fiscal policy or too loose fiscal policy, but just because of a technical delay in receiving some payments. The target on the arrears, for the central government, it's a very small amount. For local government, it is more. Those are very stubborn to get down. And so we agreed on prior actions, sort of measures, to reduce these arrears before we can complete the review. So those are already two prior actions on central and local government arrears. These are so important because that really disrupts not paying your bills, really disrupts the economic chain. Because if you don't pay your suppliers, then your suppliers cannot pay their suppliers, and so on it goes. And it's important, especially because these amounts are manageable, that the government establish itself as a fully creditworthy, trustworthy buyer and pays its bills on time, just like it pays its wages and pensions on time. Marfa has been sort of a topic of discussion between us and the Commission and the World Bank and the government. And as it became clear that Marfa was not really performing and functioning very well and made losses in 2012 that would not be sort of turned around in 2013 and has arrears, in the end the government came to the inevitable conclusion, in our view, that the best thing to do is to sell it to a strategic investor, meaning somebody who will take the company and actually develop it, as the best solution. So this is a process that will take some time, because if you want to have a serious investor, you need to give the investor time to look at the state of the company, do due diligence. And also, because the company has large debts, you need to find a solution for these debts, which you have to discuss with the European Commission, because that is a form of state aid. But if you privatize the company, I understand that issue can be resolved. So what we have agreed upon is that the winning bidder of for Marfa will be selected, and the purchase agreement will be initialed before we complete the review. The other prior action has to do with Transgas, the initial public offering of, I think it's 15% of the shares of Transgas, which we already had agreed upon in the last review, but was delayed, and that is now going to be done before the review. It's important to prepare Transgas well for if there are large sort of gas deposits put into exploitation. And since the country has reserves and potential reserves, it's important to sort of gear up the company before this happens. Finally, we had agreed last time to open up the capital of Altania also for private participation. And a prior action will be to sign the contract with a transaction advisor to do that for an IPO of Altania. Altania is a potentially very very good company. It's large. It's important for the energy security of the country, because Hydroelectrica produces a lot of energy, but if there is no water, then they're stuck. So Altania needs to be able to fill the gap, and for that it's important to sort of involve the private sector and make sure that the necessary large investments that are needed to make this company a success can be mobilized. On the commission, you will have to ask them.
Thanks.
I have a short question, if you allow me. The agreement now is on the track or off the track, please?
The government is taking corrective actions to achieve the objectives of the program. And they need a little bit more time to do that. So we agree, because we think that they are serious, and we certainly hope they will do what they say, that we should give them the time to actually implement it. So at the moment, you cannot really say either way. Thanks.
You
don't have to continue with the question, because I'm not going to say anything on Hungary.
Okay.
Oh, wait a second. Let's see if I can...
Should we do it in English, because it's easier?
I can hear you.
Do
I have it? Yeah. I think that is a strange question. Because this
I
is.
Want a straight answer.
So I'll give you as good an answer as I can. You know, it is not a school exam. It's not you have, let's say, a number of math problems and you can solve them correctly or not correctly. You can give a very sharp and elegant solution, or you can give a very clumsy and difficult solution, and so on, right? As you recall, up to the sixth review, which I think was in the board in September, performance was good, and these reviews were completed without delay. At the time already, it was clear that progress in structural reforms is difficult and susceptible to delays. Now, that's nothing special for Romania, that is in many countries the case. These reforms are very difficult because they sort of affect a lot of sort of perceptions of how the economy works of people. It affects a lot of interests. It affects, you know, the conception of how you see the development of the country. So I would say, if the government succeeds in doing the things that we have now agreed, they will get high marks. Now let me stop there.
Okay, but there are two sides to this agreement, the government and the IMF. So how would you think the IMF has done in this agreement? And again, there is no economic growth. The point of the second agreement was to obtain some kind of economic growth, preferably above 1%. Do you blame yourself for anything that has happened so far?
I hear you. Well, growth was low, but it was not absent, right? In 2012, it was very low because of the factors that I mentioned. And in 2011, 2013, it's above 1%. But that's not good enough for a country like Romania. It should be more like 3, 4%. So the way I look at it is that if we take these structural reforms in order to get more growth, if you don't do the structural reforms, you won't get growth. So that is as simple as it is for the future. Under current policies, in the current situation, we think that growth will remain low and maybe go up to 3% by 2016 or so. But if you take effective reform measures and you succeed in mobilizing more EU funds, then growth could be higher. So, yeah, the program is mixed. Good success, I would even say very good success, in reducing these macro financial imbalances, but the objective of getting higher growth has not been achieved. And partly that is due because of the environment, you know, the recession in Europe and the winter and the bad harvest. But it cannot be all ascribed to these external factors. Part of it also has to do with the fact that many enterprises in key sectors are still not performing very well, and that EU funds absorption, although it was better in 2012 than in 2011, has not been up to the level that was the ambition. So, yeah.
Just one more question. You said before that you enumerated the prior actions to complete the review. So the review, this one is not officially completed right now. And if so, by what time do you have to do them? What's the deadline? And the second question connected to this, are we to understand that the next disbursements were postponed because the objectives were not met? Because this would be a first since 2009.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it's a question of sort of the correct terminology. When a mission comes, then we can have what we call staff-level agreement on things that need to be done to complete the review. A review can only be completed by the executive board of the IMF in a meeting where they actually take a decision, right? So in this case, the meeting will take place by the end of June because the government has requested an extension of 3 months. So that's when the review can be completed if these prior actions and other things that we agreed with the government are done. About drawings, this is a precautionary program. So Romania doesn't need the money, right? They can finance themselves. And there are no drawings. Now, once you miss a performance criteria, let's say the end December performance criteria on the cash deficit, the central government arrears, and the net foreign assets of the central bank, then you cannot, then the money that was available after the sixth review cannot be drawn upon until the executive board of the IMF gives a waiver, which we will ask for when we have the board meeting. Now,
in June.
That is not a big problem because Romania can finance itself and the government can finance itself at the moment quite easily. As you know, there is a lot of interest at the moment for assets, Romanian assets. That has also to do with the fact that Romania will be included in emerging market indices. And that underlines even more that it is important for the government to implement policies that maintain the confidence of these investors in investing their money in Romania. Thanks.
Good morning. The Romanian Banking Association brought up the problem of the new procedure law for the application of the civil code. It's a big problem because they say they will have a lot of losses. But there's a problem in the provision in the law that says that the abusive clauses in loan contracts must be eliminated from all the contracts if the court says so. What's the IMF take on this issue? Because there have been a lot of litigation in the past years.
Yeah. Okay. First, we think that appropriate consumer protection in financial transactions is very important. In fact, in many countries, you have now that supervision of the financial sector and the banks is in one organization, authority, and then oversight of how financial markets work and consumer protection is in another organization. So in itself, we think that is very important. However, how you do it and how the laws and the are being applied is very important. You do not want to chase away the financial institutions and the banks because the potential risks are too high. So what we have agreed with the government and the central bank, who follows this issue very closely, is that there will be made sort of impact studies and examination of procedures to ensure that the application of the civil code will be done in a way that protects consumers and minimizes the risk that banks will refuse to lend to consumers because it's too dangerous. Right? You don't want to throw away the child with the bathwater. That's the idea here. Thank you.
Excuse me, this law should come into effect by Friday.
we understand that this law comes into effect conditional upon other laws that come in effect, and it may be February 1st, it could also be later. And if it comes into effect, we think it would be good to wait with applying the law until these impact studies and these examinations have been made to avoid doing large damage to the financial sector without good grounds. Oh, wait. I'm not aware that I used the word 2 months. I used the word 3 months. How do you think I use both? Correct.
Din experiența dumneavoastră, credeți că avem răgaz 3 luni să implementăm tot ce ne-am asumat?
Well, what was committed to do was agreed upon in August, September, and should have been done by the end of 2012. So we are now end January, until the end of June is 5 months. If there is a will, there is a way.
So it's enough time?
I think so. And we agreed with the government that there is enough time. For Marfa, it will be tight, but, you know, as I said, if there's a will, there's a way.
Care este cel mai pesimist scenariu pentru țara noastră dacă vine sfârșitul lunii iunie și constatăm că nu am făcut nimic sau mai nimic?
Well, if it's the end of the world by the end of June, it doesn't matter whether you did something or not, right? Because what you do now is for the future. Well, if it's not done, then we cannot complete the review.
What?
No, the program will expire. If we now it expires at the end of March, March 31st. If we ask for an extension of 3 months, it will expire at the end of June. And if we cannot complete the review, it will expire, and after that, there is no program.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Prima întrebare.
Okay.
Dacă expiră iunie, pentru că nu am adoptat toate, nu am făcut toate, nu am îndeplinit țintele. Dar de asemenea, e posibil să și le îndeplinim și să ducem apoi sfârșit acolo. S-a discutat despre un alt acord la finalul lunii iunie sau se va discuta atunci?
Of course. I mean, we will not agree to ask our board for an extension if we don't think the government is serious in taking these measures. So, to me, the glass is more than half full. We assume that the government will do these things. Now, we put our credibility on the line here, and so it is important that we, you know, have some reasons, some facts on which we can put our belief. So in the course of these coming months, there are many steps, let's say the privatization of Marfa or the reduction of arrears in the local government, where we can see whether the government is actually making progress. So we hope that is going to happen, and I have confidence in it. Otherwise, I could not go back home and tell my bosses, like, I agreed with this and I'm going to do it, if I don't really believe in it. So I believe in it. Wait. So what we also agreed is that the first things first. First, we conclude this review, and hopefully successfully. Then thereafter, we can talk about a new program. And so we haven't really talked about a new program, but on the other hand, if we agree on a 2013 budget, you know, that is not a budget until June, that's a budget for the whole year. If we agree, if you read the letter of intent, which you have an older version, but I think the changes are not that large. There is sort of a plan of what to do with structural reforms also going forward. So that would be a building block.
De ce guvernul Ponta, de ce premierul Ponta a cerut inițial 2 luni și acum i-ați acordat 3 luni pentru
independențele? No. I would not speculate on the reasons why people do things, right? But I think at the time, in the beginning of the mission, we were discussing and we were thinking that sort of the actions to be taken on Marfa could be done faster than the Ministry of Transport and the consultants that are actually working on this later on explained to us. And also, there is a need to go to the European Commission, DG Competition, and explain what they want to do with Marfa and get approval. And so, if you want really serious investors, they are not going to say, oh, we look at this company for 2 weeks and where shall we sign, right? They need time to do things. So all these steps take time, and it seemed to us more prudent and more called for to go for 3 months than 2 months. So, we then moved to 3 months, and the Prime Minister agreed with that because, like me, he saw we cannot do it in 2 months. Right, so. Okay, what?
Se începe deja aplicarea în programului calendarului de liberalizare a prețurilor la energie și gaze. Avem acel consumator vulnerabil deja stabilit? Populația ce ar trebui să știe?
I don't quite understand your question, like the vulnerable households, are they decided? But let me tell you this. The government has been working with experts from the World Bank to, design a system that will protect the vulnerable households from the price increases of electricity and then later on also of gas prices. And I understand that they have made very good progress and a system is sort of almost ready to be launched. So it is very important also for us that if once this liberalization takes place, that this system to support the vulnerable household is also in place so that they don't get squeezed.
Auditor, pe care nu ați spus mai devreme că la nivelul bugetului a fost atinsă cea mai importantă țintă sub un standard de sa transferile astea și atunci mă întreb dacă pe bugetul pe 2013 a fost discutat în termen cash sau țintele sunt în termen cash sau și în termen SA și în aceste condiții dacă ați discutat, probabil cea mai importantă măsură pe care guvernul o va lua în perioada următoare cu impact pe deficitul ăsta, cum vor rezolva problema despăgubirilor pentru foștii proprietari cu posedați în timpul comunismului, unde s-au angajat să dea un răspuns până în martie de decizie CEDO.
Thank you for this question. It gives me the opportunity to say a few words on the budget and the fiscal policy. As I said, the ESA budget deficit target was reached in 2012. So that is a first step for Romania to exit the excessive deficit procedure. Now, it takes some time to, how do you say that, to sort of get the actual deficit number for 2012. And also, in order to exit this EDP, you need to show that your deficit will remain below 3% in the coming years. So that's one. And the adjustment in 2011 and 2012 was very important. So as of 2013, we're going on a different basis. There's no more need to do crisis management. Now it becomes more a sort of orderly budget policy. So the basic target is the structural ESA deficit. Now, I think the structural ESA deficit in 2012 is now estimated at about 1.9% of GDP. And Romania has committed in the fiscal compact to have a structural deficit of 1% of GDP by the end of 2014. And if there is a difference, you have to make a step of 0.5% each year. So for this year, the fiscal adjustment is 0.5%, from 1.9% of GDP, structural ESA deficit, to 1.4%. And then in 2014, you go from 1.4 to 1, and then thereafter you stay. There are two things I want to say about that. One is that if your target is a structural deficit, meaning the situation, the deficit that would be there if there is no output gap, if employment is at a normal level and there is no unused capacity in the factories, or a normal level unused capacity. At the moment, the output gap is still relatively high in Romania, because growth is low and lower than what it could be. Even though what it could be is low compared to what it should be, if you follow me. Now, so for this year, the budget deficit is based on that structural ESA deficit. From that, you derive what the ESA deficit would be, taking into account the state of the business cycle. And then we look at what is the cash deficit. Now, the cash deficit target for this year is 2.1%, not much different from what it was in 2012. So on a cash basis, there is really no fiscal adjustment this year. One reason is that there is a late payments directive from the EU that says you have to pay your bills within 60 days, and in some cases 30 days. Now, in the healthcare sector, especially the pharmaceutical sector, but also medical devices, the payment period is much longer, more than 200 days. So in order to pay off these bills and pay the new bills from April 1st, exactly after 60 days, there is more money made available in the budget. There is also money made available to restore the public sector wages to what they were before the crisis. That was already decided last year. There's money made available to restitute health contributions to pensioners, which was also decided last year. And there is money available to increase the pensions according to the pension law. So these are measures that are good to protect the purchasing power and domestic demand. At the same time, there are some measures to improve tax policy and tax collection. The government will make a start with modest taxation in agriculture. They will reduce sort of and make them more rational deductions in the profit tax, and they will set or make mandatory a turnover tax for small and medium-sized enterprises. So we think that is a well-balanced package, which overall, because the structure is shifting a little bit from spending measures to revenue measures, should support also domestic demand. In addition, we spent a lot of time on making the investment budget more effective. One of the striking features in Romania is that Romania actually spends a large amount and high share of GDP on public investment, both domestically financed and EU projects, but the quality of infrastructure is amongst the lowest in Europe. So that means you don't get value for money. One reason is that there are a lot of investment projects that are not being completed. And another reason is that the prioritization, saying what is important, what is less important, sort of needs to be improved. So both things the government will start to do in this budget. The damages for expropriation, that is what I understand, a large amount. So the government is still thinking about how to address this issue, and it has not so far been explicitly included in the budget, but undoubtedly something will need to be done over the coming years. Thanks.
Adrian Panainte, Curierul Național de Business, I will ask the question in English.
Okay, good.
In Romanian, in order to help my colleagues, I will ask the question in Romanian in order to help my colleagues from.
Okay.
Întrebarea mea nu se referă la indicatorii macro, ar putea părea că nu este la zi, nici la bunci, nici nu e despre buget, nu mă întreb, pentru despre natura acordurilor cu FMI, pentru că au trecut deja, se apropie în curând 4 ani de când s-a încheiat acordul din 2009, chiar dacă sunteți șeful celei de-a doua delegații, totuși vă întreb, pentru că persistă niște îngrijorări, frământări la nivelul opiniei publice, vreau să vă întreb dacă le cunoașteți și să vă dau oportunitatea să răspundeți la ele. Pentru că sunt exprimate de analiști și analiști independenți și din mediul academic, fost jurnaliști, analiști din zona bancară, de asemenea sunt și foști oficiali care spun asta. Și ce spun ei este că în 2009 am fi avut nevoie de acorduri cu FMI pentru a stabiliza, a ne stabiliza macroeconomic, pentru a reechilibra bugetul și pentru a asigura finanțarea țării cu un stat sudden stop. Ce contest de ei este însă dimensiunea împrumutului de 20 de miliarde, cum a fost 13 miliarde de la FMI, 7 miliarde de euro de la Comisia Europeană. Ei spun că era supradimensionat și că România nu ar fi trebuit să asume pe bilanțul public o asemenea cantitate care se reflectă în rezerva excedentară de la BNR, fructificată cu diferențial de dobândă negativ, deci e suportată de contribuabil. Și ei spun că acest împrumut ar fi fost făcut, nu are un echivalent, decât în împrumuturile pe termen scurt, așa cum figurau ele, majoritatea în sectorul privat și asumate în special de bănci, de sectorul bancar. Spun că acest împrumuturi ar fi fost asumate tocmai pentru a asigura contrapartea unor ieșiri speculative, de capital speculativ, a asigura aprecierea leului cu, în împiedicate PCD-ului cu aceste rezerve excedentare și că acest împrumut nu ar fi trebuit asumat în asemenea cantitate, iar nu reflectând decât o anomalie a sectorului privat, a capitalului bancar străin, care ar fi trebuit el cumva să-și rezolve aceste probleme. Mai mult decât atât, spun analiștii, această capitalul mergând către această zonă a împiedicat o reformare a societății, adică FMI-ul ajută, pe de-o parte, bugetul să se reformeze, însă sistemul bancar a rămas în mare parte nereformat, aceleași 41 de bănci, purtătoare la credite neperformante de 17% volum credite neperformante din total credite, și spun că, de fapt, FMI ar fi ajutat la o nereformare a acelei zone economiei care a indus dezechilibrele majore în economie, deficitul bugetar fiind doar un epifenomen al unei alocări greșite a capitalului care a venit din partea sectorului bancar. Cum răspundeți la, unul, dacă știți de aceste neliniști, și doi, cum răspundeți la această teză?
Ok. To my embarrassment, I have to say, I never heard anything like this, and it seems to me a very strange story. But you want, I'm trying to even understand exactly your question, I get the gist of it. You want me to be like a Monday morning soccer player, right? Saying like, what could we have done better in the game? I think first you have to realize that when a financial crisis hits, things can go really fast, right? And you don't know what is coming next. There is a very interesting documentary of Robert McNamara. He was the defense minister in the United States at the time they started to do the Vietnam War. And the documentary is called The Fog of War, where he explains that he made decisions on limited information, not knowing what was coming next, and so they went. And that's, in a way, if you deal with a financial crisis, a very risky course of action. If you don't put enough assurances to the financial sector, but also to consumers and to businesses, that things will not fall apart, you will not have a collapse, then you gain confidence, and that is the key thing to avoid an even worse financial crisis that you had. So I think on those grounds, at the time, it was decided to how much the reserves of the central bank should be strengthened. That it was a large amount also indicates that already large amounts were going out of the country, and the fear was that it could go even further. Now, if you say we shouldn't have done that, yeah, I think that's really Monday morning soccer playing, and that's rather neither here nor there. If you say this was done to counterbalance speculative outflows, and the foreign bank should have resolved these problems by themselves, what exactly do you have in mind? Would you have in mind that the foreign banks would say, we withdraw completely? 60% of their loans are in foreign currency, mostly euros. To households and businesses that do not have an income in euros, they have to pay in lei, in RON. If this foreign bank says we want our loans to be repaid right now, then Romania, both the households and the corporate sector, would have been bankrupt. To avoid a disorderly exit of the banks is extremely important. And the banks are not going to resolve it. They cannot even do that by saying, oh, you know what, let's forgive the debt, or let's put more money in. No, they would have to go up. So I think what was done succeeded in avoiding an even worse crisis, and was the right thing to do. So now, in the coming years, this year and next year, the central bank repays some of these reserves that they drew from the IMF. But the underlying level of reserves of the central bank, if you don't take account of the part that was borrowed from the IMF, is robust and strong. So the central bank can repay this without disrupting the economy. By sort of encouraging the banks not to leave Romania, you stopped reforms in the banks. And then you make a link to these non-performing loans. I don't know exactly how you see that, but if the economy is not functioning well, if there's many enterprises that are almost bankrupt, if households have difficulty repaying their loans, then, you know, these loans are not repaid to the banks, and the banks make a loss. They have to provision for these loans, and therefore they make a loss. So last year, as a whole, the banking system in Romania made a loss. That prompts the banks, under the close supervision of the central bank, who does a very good job in applying the rules as a objective sort of supervisor, regulator should do. So when we look at the numbers of the banks, those are the real numbers. Right? It's not that things are hidden here and there. Those are the real numbers. So under the supervision of the central banks, the banks will need to first make provisions. So they bring capital into the country to cover against these losses. And the banks will also start to reform themselves by trying to be more efficient, by trying to focus on lending that is actually productive and that gets repaid, and by trying to avoid lending to households or businesses that will not be repaid and create problems. So it seems to me that the response to the financial crisis was and is a success story in Romania. Let me stop there.
Costă pe un TV, două întrebări. Pentru reformarea sistemului sanitar românesc, este nevoie de o lege nouă sau sunt de ajuns anumite pachete de măsuri? Și dacă ați discutat cu reprezentanții Ministerului Sănătății, în special ministrul Eugen Călescu, despre finanțarea spitalelor private? Asta este prima întrebare. A doua, încă de anul trecut mi s-a propus reducerea TVA la alimente, nu s-ați acceptat. Acum s-a propus reducerea TVA la produsele de panificație, nu s-a acceptat. Prim-ministrul Victor Ponta a anunțat că deja la proxima vizită vă va propune din nou ca măsură reducerea TVA-ului la produsele de panificație. De ce această insistență și spuneți-ne, până la urmă, de ce nu sunteți de acord cu această măsură? Mulțumesc.
Okay, on the health sector. We think and we agree fully with the minister and with the government that the health sector, you need to do two steps. You need to first reduce the inefficiencies and the waste and trying to use your resources better. For example, by centralizing procurement for hospitals. You know, if you buy, let's say, bandages, if you buy them for all state hospitals, you get a much cheaper price than if you buy them each hospital. And so there are many sort of measures that can be implemented that would allow, you know, to go further with the money that is now spent on the health sector. But in order to make it financially sustainable and improve the service delivery and prepare for the future, more is needed than that. You need to maybe have a sort of a more deeper reform, and maybe at some point, once the sector works well, put more resources in the health sector. Now, there was an effort to do a comprehensive reform law. And as often goes with these things, you know, once you work on it, you include more and more things. So at some point, the law had like the draft had 800 pages. And it becomes very difficult to handle. The minister, in agreement with the government, and we agree with that, has decided to say, no, okay, we'll make a note on the strategy in the health sector, and then we'll go step by step making the improvements as we go along. And we think that is a... how do you say that? That is a realistic way of approaching it, rather than having a large sort of law that then doesn't get implemented because it is maybe controversial, maybe too difficult, maybe, you know, have a clear vision of what needs to be done in the health sector, and that can be short, and then start implementing it. And we were impressed by the... by the plans of the minister to go forward in these directions. On the VAT, look, we've gone over this many, many times. Right? It is not a good idea to fragment your tax system, to have exemptions and lower rates and all kinds of complications. But the experience in other countries shows, if you lower the VAT on, let's say, restaurants and hotels or special products, in the end, it's not the consumer that gets a lower price. Right? It's this money will go somewhere else. And we don't really see the merits of it. That this may be discussed in the future. We've had enough on our plate this mission for this review. Let's focus on that, and there may be many things in the future. Thanks.
Când nu mi-ați răspuns la o întrebare, supun dacă ați discutat cu Ministrul Sănătății Eugen Nicolescu despre finanțarea spitalelor privat.
I didn't think you asked the question on that, but we think that there should be no... Rather than having a distinction between private or public hospitals, it is what we did discuss with the minister, is that to start sort of defining a basic package of health services and drugs that will be reimbursed through the public health system, and that is sort of within the financial capabilities of the social insurance system, and we think that to this, if you need also private health providers, and you obviously do, it is not a good idea to start discriminating between public and private providers, sort of on an ad hoc basis.
So you discuss about
this? We didn't discuss very much about this because we discussed about the things that I mentioned to you, how to make the health sector more efficient and how to approach a more profound reform of the health sector.
And this is stipulated in the document, or it's just a discussion?
Well, you have the document, right? So...
În contextul în care avem
noi revenim în tărcare acest an și asemenea un proces de retragere a expunerilor acestea și a restructurilor mai multe internaționale care ar putea afecta și țara noastră.
Okay. There are three issues. One is we have discussed extensively with the central bank on supervision and also on the preparation of plans and procedures and protocols for what to do when something goes wrong. And we think that the central bank is very much on top of things and is very well prepared for all kinds of eventualities that nobody hopes will ever happen. So then there is one key issue, that is this problem of non-performing loans. Because non-performing loans mean losses for the banks. And if the function of banks is to sort of transform deposits and savings of the public into loans for productive investments, mortgages, but also business loans for new investments. And if these loans do not get repaid, although mortgages do in general get repaid, that is obviously a problem, because that prevents the banks to really perform their function. So we think that, on the one hand, this is related to sort of the low economic growth. So once economic growth will pick up, or consumers and investors will get more confidence, they will be able to ask for more credit. Credit demand will go up, and that will allow the banks to have more sound credits in their portfolio, and then this bad credit problem sort of becomes relatively small. Secondly, it's important that banks are able at some point after everything has been tried, if they have bad loans that do not get repaid and that they have provisioned for, that they can write them off or they can sell them to an asset recovery firm, so that the bank is no longer burdened by it. They will have a loss on it, but then it's done. And this is not, Romania is not the only country where this happened. It happens in many countries. And that's sort of one of the reasons why a financial crisis has such long-lasting effects, right? Because you have to work through these problems before you can sort of restart normal banking. The deleveraging of the foreign banks, which are about 80% of the assets of the banking system, so far is going in an orderly way, in our view. The pace is a bit higher than it was in 2011, but it also has to do with the state of credit demand. If there is not that much credit demand for good loans, so to speak, then, banks do not need to sort of put so much funding and capital in Romania. So hopefully once the economy starts to pick up, that means after the structural reforms have been taken and the EU funds start flowing in, hopefully this will be reversed or stopped. It is also the case that banks in Europe in general, have to sort of change a little bit their business model. They're all sort of fairly highly leveraged, meaning they have part of their funding comes from deposits and part comes from attracting resources on the money market. And banks there is sort of a movement in becoming a bit more conservative and relying a bit more on deposits rather than, and so also the subsidiaries of foreign banks in Romania sort of are going to rely more on attracting deposits and their deposit base, which will grow with the economy, rather than than putting more money in. So once this process is over, also this will deteriorate. Now, banks can be funded by their parents sort of directly, but they can also be funded through more short-term arrangements and other arrangements. So there is still, you know, a very significant exposure that is only being reduced rather gradually and in an orderly fashion. So we think once the economy will turn up, hopefully this will also be mitigated. Thanks. You know, for one, we think it is good to shift. Let me first say the IMF is not an expert on the health sector, right? So we work very closely with the Commission experts and the World Bank. But that said, we think it is a good idea to shift a bit the type of services provided from, you know, directly going into a hospital to going to, you know, sort of general practitioners and more polyclinic or ambulatory care, that you just go in and go out without staying in a hospital, and preventive care, because hospital care is very expensive. And so having a co-payment on going into the hospital will also be an incentive for the health consumers to, you know, see if they can have an alternative than going in the hospital doing that. Now, I know that there is also, you know, side payments and all of these things, right? So this is the first step, and it's a very modest co-payment. So it is just the first step. But that's the idea. Thanks.
Hello, I'm Dietmar from Bloomberg. I have very short questions. First of all, can we say that the current reviews are at the frozen stage? Are currently frozen, or what would be a correct terminology to use? Thank you.
What would be a correct terminology? I never thought of that. I would say, the government is taking actions in order to complete the review. So it takes them a bit longer. And I hope it's not frozen, because if they're frozen, they don't do the prior actions, right? And we don't get there. So they should be not frozen.
So it's just prolonged.
Yeah.
The second question is related to what you said earlier about the inflation rate entering the central bank target or the upper limit in the second part of this year. In your opinion, does that warrant for a resumption of the easing cycle, including interest rate cuts?
Not yet. We think actually that the current stance of monetary policy is appropriate. Right? If you recall, when we were here in November, I'm not sure we talked, but in any case, in November when we were here, my thinking was that, you know, these increases in food prices and the depreciation of the exchange rate that was going on could easily result in second round effects and mean that underlying inflation is higher. And if you have a depreciation going on and you have sort of higher inflation, then since those are two, you know, key objectives of the central bank, the appropriate reaction is to tighten monetary policy, which the central bank did through the repo injections of liquidity, right, going from adequate to firm. However, since then, you know, I'm now more inclined, and the central bank also talked about that, to think that these food price increases are probably largely temporary. They may last still in the first half of this year, but they are temporary, related to the bad harvest, mostly. As you know, the depreciation of the exchange rate has, how do you say that, turned into an appreciation since middle of November, something like that, end November. And so, at the same time, there is still a large output gap, right? Meaning the economy is not booming. So for all these reasons, we think the current stance is appropriate, and if the central bank moves to adequate liquidity provision, that's appropriate as well. Now, I would say there's still risks out there, and anchoring inflation expectations, in particular in Romania, is difficult because you have a history of high inflation. So before people really believe that inflation is low, it takes a while to convince them. And so we would say that for the time being, leave things, and then later on we can always revisit.
And one last question, because you agreed with a 3-month extension of this review, do you think that there is still time for Romania to have the third accord, a new accord in place by the end of this year?
A new what?
A new accord with the...
Well, it depends on how well we complete this review. It depends on the commitment and the demonstration of this commitment of the government to continue with its prudent fiscal policies and structural reforms. But if those things are in place, that is possible.
If you allow me two more questions, Mr. Demeyer. Since the growth in 2012 hasn't existed, and we are aiming 1.5% this year, are we now, as we speak, in a recession?
No. I think a recession is if you have negative growth in two consecutive quarters.
We already have one.
Yeah. So at the moment, I would say we don't know what the fourth quarter is. So we don't think in 2013, we're now in the first quarter of 2013, I don't think there is a recession right now. But it is a very slow recovery, and we'll see how strong it is.
And my next question is, since the agreement with the European Commission will expire on March 31st and it won't be extended, what will be effects on the budget? Because as I know, there were some measures in that agreement that allowed Romania to co-finance just by 5% instead of 15%. Will this raise automatically the co-financing part of the Romanian government?
I would usually not answer for other IFIs like the Commission, but I've heard the mission chief from the Commission say this so often that I think I can repeat it. Yeah, once the program expires at the end of March, the co-financing will go from 5% to 15%, which is the normal co-financing. Right? So, yeah, you can make it very dramatically saying, oh, we lose money. But you can also say, look, we're in the normal situation now.
Thank you very much.
Two short questions about the co-payment.
Again?
Yes, sorry. First of all, the Prime Minister said, gave an example yesterday. He said it's going to be around 10 lei. Just to clarify, is that 10 days for the whole stay in the hospital, or is it 10 days per day? How did you negotiate it? Is it per day or for the whole stay?
I think we didn't, as far as I know, well, in our discussions, we didn't go into a detailed definition. This was done in previous missions, but I would say that the idea is to have a modest, simple co-payment for medical services. So, yeah, my immediate association would be that means per day. But I leave that up to the government how to do it. If you make this co-payment so small that it doesn't mean anything, then of course it won't have an effect. Right? So.
Okay, and the second question, we understand it's a very low payment at the beginning, but do you have anything on paper or negotiated about how this co-payment might increase in the future?
No. I think there will be an evaluation, and then there will be further discussion. So we don't have, like with the energy and price liberalization roadmaps, right, where we have a roadmap, sort of dates and what needs to be done, we don't have that for the co-payments.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for attending this press conference. Now at the exit, a press release will be available. Thank you.
So was it okay?
Yes.
I see. Did we get everything?
Do you have discussed about the reduction of social contributions with the Romanian authorities?
No, we discussed it. We will study this. And they will, this is not something for now, but maybe for next year.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.